Seth, good morning.
Good morning.
Everything okay? Health, everybody, all family and all the far-flung Marrows?
So far, so good. As I said, I have some nephews and their families out in L.A., so wishing the best for them and everybody out in California. I mean, some of the hot spots are where you really worry about people if you look around the rest of the country. An interesting website for folks who just, you know, I think like all of us, I'm you know, trying to eat up some of the information. But healthdata.org is kind of interesting and breaks out things state by state. So with graphs that are fairly easy to understand. So if people want to check that out, you can kind of keep up state by state with numbers as well. And I think you get away from some of the hot spots and you see it's almost a different story. And we just have to knock on wood that it stays that way, certainly. But yeah, so far, again, I have a couple of nephews and families out in L.A., but everybody else I've talked to doing well. I'm hunkering down and just kind of going out and doing some groceries. And for a guy who eats out a lot, I've had to fire up the cooking skills again, and it's actually been pretty good. I'm kind of impressed with my Susie Homemaker skills. I've been doing all right for the past couple of weeks. But you know what? The other day, I was doing a little trim on the goatee in the mirror in the bathroom, and I thought of you. I thought, in this time of non-essential, what do you do about your haircut? Your haircut in Vermont.
Well, luckily, as it happens, the week before, things really started to climb down. I actually had a cut, and because I was getting ready for that 5-week trip, so the timing was opportune. Right now I'm good. I've got 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks, I guess, at this point, I might be okay. In fact, I even asked Tina, I said, if it comes to it, will you do some trim, work? So she didn't seem too eager, but, we'll see if she's pressed into service.
Do you guys have a Flowbee? Do they even still make the Flowbee?
What is a Flowbee? What's a Flowbee?
You don't remember the Flowbee? It was one of those products that was on the commercial, you know, like a Ronco thing. And you stuck it on the end of your vacuum cleaner hose, and it just had you picked the length, and it would suck the hair into the hose and cut it off at that length. So, yeah, it was a very sophisticated product. But for a while, it was on TV all the time, the Flowbee.
Oh, my God.
You didn't have to clean up the floor afterwards. It's perfect.
That I'm just pulling it up here, and I am seeing it as seen on TV. Flowbee. Oh my God! This is the most Seth Merrow thing ever.
Because I was thinking as I was looking in the mirror, I'm getting a little shaggy on the sides, which is the only part that can get shaggy. And
exactly.
Trying to figure out what I can do.
This is great. The Precision Home Haircutting System.
Precision. Oh, that's great.
The Flowbee. I thank you for this, Seth, because this will produce years of amusement. This will be plugged in immediately into Loose on the Lead lore. This is too funny. Oh, my God. Well, I'm hearing from Steve Carlin.
Some Sunday morning, I'll let you give me a Flowbee cut.
That would – now that – now, see, that's great television.
I'll put on the bib and – yeah. That would be good television.
Wow. Flowbee. Well done. My man Steve Carlin, who's one of our partners. Steve is in the beauty care industry. He distributes and in the tri-state area, and he says Flowbee. Absolutely. He's very shocked that I'm unaware. That's great. That is great. I love it. I will include this in today's listing, actually. Seth, most importantly, how good are you getting playing Will Rogers and Fonner?
For a long time, we were weekdays, all weekdays, doing some handicapping on OTB. The last, you know, couple of years, we've been kind of Wednesday through Sunday. But I was doing Mondays and Tuesdays for a long time. And I got, so I like Portland Meadows, I used to really like. They had a pick four that was kind of fun to play late in the day. And so I've gotten, so I like some of that. And I tell people, I'm, those, and now you're kind of forced to do it. But on those days, you know, kind of jump in on some days and some tracks that you wouldn't normally do, because it takes you out of your handicapping comfort zone. And a lot of the tracks, and it's true for those tracks as well, a lot of the tracks you have to pay a little bit of attention to jockeys that are at the top of the standings or trainers at the top of the standings. Well, you're not familiar with them. So you got to become familiar with that. And then you have to become familiar with any of the other idiosyncrasies that the tracks have. And a lot of times the odds boards can point in that direction because it's people familiar with the track. And so you look up the odds board and there's some horse that you're not considering at all and sitting at 2-1 or 9-5. And then you look and it's the more you play, the more you realize, oh, okay, now I see what people are kind of jumping on there at this particular track. But as I say, it takes you out of your comfort zone a little bit. And I think in the end adds to your handicapping toolbox. So for folks who maybe are kind of shying away from those days where tracks they don't normally play are the only ones running, jump in, because they, again, you can have a little fun, obviously, in a time where there isn't much other product out there, but also I think it does benefit your handicapping.
And I, this morning I started and highlighted yesterday's results, and granted it's a jackpot pick five at Fonner. However, it's reached, as you've discussed, I mean, you're one of these people that realizes that there is a certain point in the growth curve of a jackpot pool where it's getting so much attention and so much play that it's covering extraneous combinations. Well, yesterday, a $413 payout on a sequence where there were three favorites and two second choices. It was a $90 parlay, and it paid $413.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been, as you say, that the rainbow down at Gulfstream, it gets up to a certain point where I think the consolation being on the rainbow when more than one person has it, pays nicely. And so now you get to some of these smaller venues that normally aren't getting the kind of play that would maybe attract you to those kind of bets. They're getting money into the pools, and they are offering those kind of plays. And, you get a pick five, and you can get, you know, you get a couple of horses that are off the beaten trail. But that can juice up nicely. I have to say, I haven't looked at the pick five there, but my name, now I may have to.
We're longtime friends with Chris Katulak, and I'm sure you've had Chris over the years, you know, especially when he was helping Jack Van Berg and you know, escorting Jack literally nationwide on the book tours. And Chris has done a remarkable job at Fonner, and this is only not that, again, I reiterate this every time I say it, you know, it's not a nobody's pounding chest and excited and happy that this circumstance is happening, but it is a rare opportunity for a place like Fonner and Will Rogers to get mainstream eyes and horse playing community that otherwise has never really looked at the product. Tampa, of course, continues as well. And last week it came up, and I think I let everybody know subsequently, Tampa is running through traditional Derby weekend, the first weekend in May. So still several weeks left of action at Tampa, including getting back at it today. I'm going to guess that, that you've gone and looked at the sequence.
I did. Twitter. Have the entire sequence on Twitter with some selections and comments.
Very nice. Well, let's verbalize a few here, because in fact that last race came up earlier in the show. Owen Hardy joined us, Seth, reached out to Owen for some reaction to from the California trainers that he represents, to the situation at Santa Anita. But he also happens to be eligible. He's got horses in the late double today. Give us start wherever you want in that sequence at Tampa today.
I'll go over to late pick four, but before I do that, I just want to mention Cliffy to me looks a little bit interesting in the third race. I don't know whether the morning line will hold up, but I bring it up because it's a first-time starter at 12-1. And again, this is in the third race. It's Cliffy for Mike Deeney and Bally Britt by Revolutionary. Now, was sold last April. I will make that caveat. But we're 10.3 before the Ocala sale in April. Only attracted $8,000, debuts for 16. So, you know, right in the comfort zone given the auction price. So Cliffy in the first-time starter. It's one of those races where I think you can play around maybe with the first-time starter. I mean, the horse to beat, I think, is logically Mozano, the number three. But I thought Cliffy was a little bit interesting in the third. Mike Deeney, I don't know if you saw him out there. Mike Deeney was at
Vegas.
The NHC. He was playing at the NHC out in Vegas this year, and he's having a nice little meet as a trainer down at Tampa. But, again, Cliffy in the third. So, again, we'll jump in late pick four at Tampa. Kicks off in the fifth race. This is a bottom-level calendar condition claimer, and I had Never Have I Ever on top for Larry Rovelli. That one's scratched because scratches are out now. I have a 12-5 and 8 after that, so I'm kind of stuck outside with the 12. Couple of thirds most recently, claimed a couple of back for the 5 and then went up to $6,250. And again, ran third in both of those. But the 5 level is probably more the comfort zone. So I think this one, off the claim, they moved up, you know, a half a step. I think it's back down to the level where the horse will run well. One Fine Ride goes out for high percentage connections in a race where there aren't too many of those kind of connections. So I think that one is a little bit of a player too. And I'm a Cool Man. Got to draw a line through the last race, but that does concern. It was the second off the claim, and the horse just kind of went in the other direction. But it was one race, and, you know, you can't ever make decisions based on one race last time, good or bad. So I think if we get back to prior good numbers, I'm a Cool Man as a player in here. Pick four purposes. It's one of those, again, it depends on where you want to go later in the sequence, but I could make the case to either stick with the 12 or use all three. Again, it's going to depend on where you go later in the sequence, but I have a 12, 5, and 8. Sixth race in Tampa, making 16 claimers, going a mile on the grass. I went 4, 10, 3, and 9. The 2 scares me a little bit as well, but Syzygy, I'm guessing is the pronunciation. This is kind of an angle I like. I've liked it over the years. 15-1 on the morning line. We'll see if that holds up. But came back up a little bit of a layoff from mid-December to late February and then put in a couple of sprints. And I like a horse that gets a layoff, usually a little bit longer than this, admittedly. But they come back, they sprint twice, and then stretch out. Now, this one not only stretching out, but is trying the grass. But I like that Sammy Camacho sticks on board. So I just thought there were some check marks in the right columns that this one, Syzygy, could be a little bit of a player, maybe at a price. Dakota Beach is coming in off some improving numbers over the past few starts and looks primed for a good effort this afternoon. Calypso Key in third spot probably gets back down off a try against a little bit better last time. I think will benefit moving back down to the 16 level. Today, probably, you know, again, I'm rolling the dice a little bit with the top pick. So in the pick four, I'd probably be comfortable going three deep in here. March and Wald and All American Jewel are interesting to me, but the other three are probably the more likely contenders. So in the sixth at Tampa, I have it 4, 10, 3, and 9. Seventh race is the one that's going to throw the monkey wrench in the if you get past the first two and then get past this, then you become comfortable that maybe you had an interesting play, because I could make the case in here. There are first-time starters that have a little bit of breeding and some connections and workouts and whatnot. So I could literally make the same case for and against probably 6 or 7 or 8 in here. But I went 11-1-3, excuse me, and 6. Positive Impact. 12-1 on the morning line, but it's a Godolphin runner, moved out of the barn of Kieran. We wish him the best in the new career, but moves into the barn of Owen Hardy, as you say, and at 12-1. I'd be interested. I didn't hear Owen earlier. He was talking about this one, what he thinks. Because at 12-1, $350,000 purchase for Godolphin, debuted in September. Yeah, it didn't run that great that day, but I always think horses like this, lightly raced 2-year-olds to get a little layup and come back as 3-year-olds, can come back and improve. And that March 9th workout says positive impact might be one of those. Sky Mischief's probably the one to beat up the first couple of starts of the career. Went over to Gulfstream last time and showed some speed before fading, but should appreciate the return to the West Coast. Carmichael, tossed a decent little buyer number at Keeneland in October for Vicky Oliver. And now, kind of like the top pick, a layoff since that two-year-old debut could come back improved. And Oceanic, I thought maybe a little bit of a player by Constitution at a 10-to-1 price. So, again, in a tough race, I'd probably use all four of them. And the one where maybe you can go go a little bit thin, maybe you can rely on Our Country in the last race in the sequence. And he's going to be the horse to, worth watching on this Wednesday in racing across America because he showed some obvious ability and stakes ability as a two-year-old on the turf. Broke the maiden up at Saratoga last year. Wound up in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf to a wind-up two-year-old season. So for Randy Hill and company, George Weaver, Our Country looks pretty good facing this company that start the 2020 season. Bitcoin Passion for Christophe Clement won the career debut. Probably has to step it up. I don't think that's out of the question. Me and Mr. C, I think he'll be a little bit of a player moving back out of stakes company. Kid Drama, again, for Mike Deeney, who's having a pretty good meet, is 2-for-2. Like Bitcoin Passion, probably has to step it up, but I don't think that's, as I say, out of the question. But again, it looks like it's going to go through Our Country in here in the 8th of Tampa. I have 6-2, 7-10.
A couple of thoughts, and I agree, of course, with Our Country now the second comebacker after Vekoma for the same exact team on Saturday and the win in the Sir Shackleton. And here's Our Country. Does need some pace, though, Seth, that's a part of the equation. I'm glad you brought up Kid Drama, who is going to have to work out a trip under Mejia from the outside. You know, that outside stall coming down the chute. But I thought Kid Drama is a real player at 10-to-1. So that, when it comes to the nightcap, just an idea. And also, going back to that seventh race, little interested in Mike Tomlinson. Mike was on with us last week, and here's the first-time starter, Captain Billy Roy. And this is Woolsey and Kinder. The homebred, and this is immediately when I saw Suffiano, I realized that this is the Jordan's Henny sibling. And sure enough, Jordan's Henny, the nice stake horse that this team produced, and Captain Billy Roy might be okay. And Mike Tomlinson can get a horse ready for a debut. So I don't know if it's a win candidate, but if you're playing this race as a standalone, maybe underneath a little of the two, Captain Billy Roy. It's a fun sequence today at Tampa, no doubt. And Gus also looked at it, and I'm putting that up at the website. In fact, it's up at the website now too. So you got Seth on Twitter to take a look at and compare and contrast. But the sequence, the pick four, is 10 by 12 by 10. Or actually, I take that back. That's the pick five. The pick five is 10 by 12 by 10 by 13 by 10. So this is big full fields like you like. And the racing starts in just about a half an hour at Tampa Bay Downs, the little track that could.
Yeah, scratches are up, but I'm just looking at the last two, the late double, no scratches in there. So as you say, nice full fields, and they pretty much held together for the most part throughout. So it should be a lot of fun. It gives us a chance to look out and see some warm weather. Although today, here in upstate New York, finally some sun has shown through. Because I'll tell you, the stay-at-home order to look out at rain every day, that gets a little doubly depressing.
Exactly. Well, Tina, I can see Tina out there. She's doing some thatching, and she may even get me to join her today, actually. I may go give her a hand for a little bit. Seth, thanks a lot. Stay safe.
Yeah, same to you, and certainly all the listeners. Stay safe, and anybody who has family members or whatever we're fighting, we're wishing the best to all of them. But, yeah, stay home, stay safe. We'll see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Seth Merrow, everybody. Jen Reutz as well today from the Retired Racehorse Project, and earlier, Sid, of course, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillendale, Keith Shamblin. And, of course, right now they're continuing the teleconference and transcript of it, as well as replay later, probably tomorrow. And Owen Hardy joined us as well this morning. Thanks to Owen. Enjoy the afternoon. There's some very nice racing, and back with the Thursday edition, and Tony and Rich and Steve and more tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Thanks to Deja on the board. Good luck of your plan. I'll talk to you tomorrow.